groom was almost executed, but saved at the last minute by the bride's dazzling, divinely beautiful best friend as she led in a Corey entourage. Entourage indeed, and no one really said dazzling, divinely beautiful. Well, they were thinking it, Jago retorted with mock solemnity, just like I had now. You are a vision. I flushed under his appreciative gaze, secretly thrilled that he finally got to see me in glittering court glory. The dress I wore was made of celadon silk, its off-the-shoulder bodice decorated with deeper green crystals. You're just saying that because you've mostly seen me in drab heirs' dresses or Ikori travelling clothes. Hey, I happen to like those leather travelling pants. A lot. I tugged at his arm. Come meet my friends and tell me where you've been. He shook his head and stayed put. I'm underdressed, and don't tell me no one cares. We aren't married. We can't flout society quite yet. We'll be able to soon enough, I said. I went on to explain to him how I now had a paid contract and a little money on the side. His eyes lit up, both with delight and speculation. Huh, that makes a lot of things easier, doesn't it? And you know what else will make things easier? The 50 gold I secured for us. That's why I was late. 50 gold? Did you rob someone? I clamped a hand to my mouth in horror. Jago, you didn't sell the horses, did you? Look at the outrage. Why, Tamsin, is it possible you've grown to actually care about those horses? I've grown to care about you fulfilling your childhood hopes and dreams. Now how'd you get the damned gold? Well, I don't have it in hand, but I will once we preserve and transport those newspapers you found at the house. I made some inquiries in Bakerston, and you were right about their value. They're starting a college up there, and one of the professors offered a pretty hefty sum if I could deliver them. Of course, they aren't mine. My deal with the old mistress is a small cut of anything I sell on her behalf in the house. She lives between here and Bakerston, so we had a chat, and I coaxed her into more than a small cut for the sale, since we'll have to do some work to preserve them, and because no one would have known they were worth something, if not for you. 50 gold, I breathed. Not for a while, but yes, I thought I'd be scrambling for the rest of your fee, but it looks like we can get married right away and get all the things you need for Mary. We'll have to buy most of it here, I imagine, seeing as Rushwick's pretty limited. You didn't hear if they're getting a school, did you? No, and I'm not optimistic about it happening soon, what with how small they are. But with that much gold, we'll make do. We'll buy books. His smile seemed to be as much because of my happiness over the news as the news itself. Don't write that council off yet. You know who I saw on my way in? Myers, of all people. He made the trek out here. He's going to drop off all the job advertisements at the newspaper office. Really? I was impressed enough to turn my thoughts from the windfall. Maybe they're getting their act together. Maybe. He was chattering about how he didn't have the time to go through applicants, asked again if you'd reconsider being assistant clerk and do the interviews for him. Jago gently touched my cheek and then quickly withdrew his hand, remembering we were in public. Can't blame the guy for trying, though. We all depend on you. Some of the other girls began calling for me from the other side of the grounds. Oh, they're going to decorate the coach. I need to go. Are you sure you won't come with me, Jago? You should get something to eat. He shook his head. No, not this time. I'm bone tired anyway. I'll find you tomorrow, and we'll start talking wedding plans. Wait till you see the deals I can get on decorations. Do you want to do it before or after Mary is here? Oh, I honestly wish I could do it after all of my family's here. Part of the plan was to bring them over when I... The cheery mood humming through me all evening took its first dip. Well, we'll figure things out, I suppose. We always do. Tamsin! Came Mary's voice. Where are you? Go, Jago said. They need you. I squeezed his hand again and started to turn. Hey, You don't know where Mr. Myers is staying, do you? Myers? Branson Myers? Jago asked, like he hadn't just been telling me about him 5 minutes ago. He mentioned some inn with arms in the name, I think. You aren't going to take him up on that pitiful offer, are you? That offer? No. I lifted Jago's hand and sneaked a kiss onto it. See you tomorrow. After all the celebrating, most everyone at Wisteria Hollow wanted to sleep in the next morning, but the caravan to West Haven departed just after sunrise. It left with as much fanfare as the one to Haddison had, but this time, watching Cedric and Adelaide lead their horses, I no longer felt filled with dread. The world was bursting with optimism and beauty, and anything seemed possible. Stay out of trouble, I teased Adelaide, hugging her for what felt like the 50th time. Me? Your record's much worse than mine. Her bright laughter faded as she blinked back tears. Tamsin, I can't say again how sorry I am for my role in it, for everything that happened back in Usfrid. Oh, hush, I scolded. What happened to me is on me. Still, I should have told you about Cedric and my past. I should have told you about my past. It was an awfully big secret to tell in such a hasty manner, but I'd kept it from her for too long. So, out it came, as quickly and coherently as I could manage, all about Mary and the medicine, and even a little about Jago. She listened with wide eyes, and I don't think she blinked. Tamsin, I wish I'd known, she exclaimed when I finished. I wish I could have helped you. That's the past. But I could use your help now. You said you had a sum of money in Aspro, didn't you? Yes, I inherited it by getting married. But I'd have to send a letter to Aspro and then wait for it to come back here. But if you need money, I need a loan, I corrected. And what I need it for is actually back in Aspro. The send-off took longer than I expected, and I had no time to find Mr. Myers before meeting with the Governor and the Ikori. Restless energy ate me up as the arbitration continued, but I kept up my smile and my calm. When we had a small lunch recess, I skipped eating and instead hurried off to an inn I'd inquired about earlier, the Duke's Arms. Through a bit of luck, I found Mr. Myers as he was sitting down to eat in the inn's common room. He jumped up when he saw me, nearly knocking his plate off the table. Miss Wright, you're here. Will you do it? Are you accepting the job offer? That's such a relief. He nodded to a stack of papers. I was actually on my way to the newspaper office, and it'll be so helpful if you could... I'm not here to accept your offer, I said, sitting in the chair opposite his. I'm here to make you one. And I don't have a lot of time, so I'll just come right out with it. I could have practically run your office that first day. I was running it. I did more in that time than anyone else has done since... I don't know. How long ago was Rushwick Incorporated? He shifted uncomfortably. I don't know the exact date. It's in some of the paperwork. Somewhere. It doesn't matter. What does is that you were offering me an assistant clerk's job when I was neither assistant nor, in fact, clerking. I don't understand, he said, his thin eyebrows tugging together into an almost straight line. Do you want the clerk's job? I want the town manager's job. I leaned in and tapped the papers on the table. I know you need one because I saw the advertisement. I'm the one who filed it with the other ads. The manager? That's not an easy job. I'd figured we'd give it to someone more male. He winced. It's very complicated. There are a lot of things to keep track of. Town projects, staff, council meetings. Not many people can keep up with all of it. I've noticed that, I said dryly. But by all means, you can go turn these ads in and hope a good candidate will apply, even though it's unlikely you'll have the time to interview them. Meanwhile, you've got me right here, ready to go as soon as I tie up loose ends in the city. Loose ends that involve negotiating a bloody truce between two nations in Adoria. That alone should qualify me to manage your town's government, even if you hadn't already seen what I can do. It's unusual to have a woman, especially of your age, in that role, but... He took a deep breath as he wrestled with the decision. But these are unusual times. Very well, Miss Wright. I will take responsibility for hiring you, and you'll deal with all the rest of this. He slid the stack of papers toward me with a hopeful look. Yes, but not for one silver a week. I flipped through the pages until I found the manager posting. With his pen, I scrawled a new number on it and showed him. Don't look like that, I warned, seeing his shock. We both know that's the going rate, and honestly, with my background, it's a bargain. I pushed my chair back and stood up. It's also my final offer. I have to get back to bringing about peace and prosperity now, but when you decide to accept, come find me at the Town's Hall or Wisteria Hollow. Good day, Mr. Myers. I'd only taken a few steps away from the inn when he came running out. Miss Wright! Miss Wright! I accept! A job. A real job. One that would earn me respect and a hefty wage. The thought of it left me walking on clouds as I returned to the negotiations. The money Jago and I had secured would take care of us in the short term, and the loan Adelaide was giving me would buy passage here for the rest of my family. As great as those windfalls were, the need for a reliable, consistent income had been eating at me. Well, I had one now. Most incredibly of all, the money was coming from me and my talents, not the indulgence of a wealthy husband. I controlled my future. We'd barely sat down for negotiations when the doors to our meeting room were flung open. Half the people at the table jumped, probably thinking an attack was coming. But it was Jago who burst in. Orla brightened upon seeing him. I'd heard you were back. Governor Doyle exchanged puzzled looks with his colleagues. Who in the world are you, and how did you get in? Jago, what's going on? I asked uneasily. As happy as I was to see him, the timing wasn't exactly optimal. Jago, as usual, didn't look particularly unfazed at intruding. He'd cleaned up since last night, but still wore his usual casual attire. Jerking a thumb behind him, he said, Oh, old Lawson let me in. We go way back. Cotton deal, you see. But that's not why I'm here. Tamsin, the Sterling just came into port. Slowly, I stood up, my hands clenching the edge of the table. After a few steadying breaths, I said very quietly, Gentlemen, ladies, I'm going to have to step out for a moment. Lieutenant Harper, I'm sure you can fill in. Without waiting for approval, I followed Jago out the door, ignoring Orla and Harper's concerned calls. As soon as I emerged outside, I broke into a run toward the docks. Jago fell right into step with me. When we arrived, customs inspectors were just leaving the Sterling. Other ships were loading and unloading too, and we kept getting pushed back into the bustling crowd as we stood on our tiptoes to see what would happen next on the ship. Why were there so many tall people here today? Suddenly, a woman behind me squealed and surged forward, hugging an elderly man carrying a suitcase. It's happening, I gasped. The passengers! And then, a flash of red hair. She saw me as I saw her, her rosy-cheeked face splitting into a grin. Mama! Mary pulled away from the woman who held her hand and dove into my arms. I swept her up and felt everything inside of me burst. My heart had to keep so much held in over the last year, and now this was the key that finally released it. All the heartache, ambition, exhilaration, and so much more. Everything that had driven me on this quest. I could scarcely draw breath as I showered her with kisses and held her against me. Stop all that crying, Mama. People will stare. Why, Tamsin, look at you.
Esther Wilson and the rest of my old neighbours made their way over, hugging me as I kept hugging Mary. When the whole family was off and had their belongings, we set out through the congested shipyard for easier parts of Cape Triumph. Jago scooped up Mary's trunk and ambled alongside us.
I've missed you so much, I told her, still hardly believing I was touching her. You're so tall now.
She nodded gravely.
Well, I'm 4. I was afraid you wouldn't recognize me.
I kissed her again.
Don't be silly. I'd know you anywhere. I was afraid you wouldn't remember me. Of course I would. Aunt Livy's always drawing pictures of you. And we read those letters you left every day. I brought some of my favourites along, but I like having the real you even more.
She leaned against me and stared wide-eyed at the city. Noticing Jago, she lifted her head and said,
Who are you?
Jago Robinson, miss. At your service. Mary scrutinized him with the tactlessness children excel at.
Did you know your eyes don't match?
I've heard that once or twice, he replied solemnly.
I like them.
She started to put her head on my shoulder again, but perked back up when I said, Mr. Jago is a good friend of mine. Once I've taken care of a few things here, we'll be going out west to live with him. Glancing between us, she asked suspiciously,
Is this who Granny was talking about? The rich man who's going to carry us off to a castle?
Oh, I'm rich in character, he told her. And it's not so much a castle as a farm.
That's not the same at all, said Mary, though she sounded more curious than disapproving. Are there animals on it? Cows and chickens?
Not that kind of farm. I have horses. She made a face.
Oh, horses are everywhere.
Not like mine. I'm serious, he added, noting her scepticism. Mine are faster and smarter than other horses. They're for racing. Just ask your mother there. She's ridden them.
Have you, Mama?
And then, not waiting for an answer,
Can I?
When you're older, I answered, at the same time Jago said, Yes.
Jago,
I warned. Mary jumped to his defence.
They're his horses and he says I can. We should go right now.
Jago grinned behind her and I shook my head at both of them. It's 5 days away, love, and you just got here. There's lots of the city to see.
I've seen cities. I used to live in one. Did you know that, Mr. Jago?
In one glance, she dismissed all of Cape Triumph's wonder.
I don't need to see another city. I want to go live on a farm.
And I'm anxious for you two, Jago said. But I'm also anxious about getting our affairs settled. Mary looked at him like he was crazy.
Why are you anxious? Mama's here. If things need to be done, she'll get them done. Didn't you know that?
I shifted her to my other arm and brushed curls out of her face.
Don't be rude, Mary. I'm not. I'm just telling him things. I like telling people things they need to know. Someone's got to.
Jago winked at her. I absolutely agree. Feel free to let me know anything else you think of. I'm starting to think I know what it'd be like to have 2 children, I said deadpan. That made him smile even bigger, but Mary was deep in thought.
Apples, she said suddenly, her voice a challenge. You need apples for your horses. Did you know that? They love apples.
I do know that, he replied. And I have apple trees at the farm. Mary was rendered speechless, but not for long. She and Jago did have that in common. She looked at me with sparkling eyes, filled with such hope and joy, I worried I'd start crying again.
Did you ever think, Mama, that we'd be on the other side of the world, going to live on a farm with horses and apple trees?
No, I didn't. I glanced over her and met Jago's eyes. And yet, here we are.
Mary rested her head back against me and sighed.
Here we are.
This is Elizabeth Nolden. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Emerald Sea by Richelle Mead. This program was directed by Garrett Scott, executive producer Sarah Jaffe. Text copyright 2018 by Richelle Mead, LLC. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.